In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to the late edition of RIN in English News with me, Nimachitsas. Iran's 8 presidential candidates took part in their second round of live debates on Iran's state TV on Wednesday. Art and culture were the topics of the second presidential debate. The first debate was also aired live on Iran's state TV, during which the candidates spoke about their economic plans. They offered their solutions to the country's economic problems and answered questions on major economic issues. Iranians will cast their ballots at over 66,000 polling stations across the country in the nation's 11th presidential elections. Iranian nationals will also be able to vote at 285 polling stations that will be set up abroad. The president of Iran is elected for a 4-year term and a national election. Syrian army has urged citizens in the newly recaptured city of Al-Qusayr to return to their home, saying the battle will continue to crush all foreign-backed militants across the country. The Syrian military said, "We ensure that Qusayr is now completely safe," stressing that the victory in Qusayr is a clear message to the enemies of the country, particularly the Zionist regime. Syrian military forces have dismantled the terrorist network of the militants in the strategic area, which borders Lebanon. Qusayr has been an important center and supply route for the foreign-sponsored rebels fighting the Damascus government. Syrian army also reported that it has obtained documents confirming the role of some Arab and non-Arab countries in the Syria crisis. Meantime, Russia has sharply condemned a recent report by the UN investigators about the ongoing crisis in Syria. Russian Foreign Ministry said the UN in its report pointed to torture, abductions and other abuses by the Takfiri militants, but preferred not to qualify bombings carried out by the rebels in Syrian cities as terrorist acts. The sharply worded statement added the report also remained silent on other inhuman acts by the militants, including many cases of sexual violence against women. The statement comes a day after the UN Commission of Inquiry accused the Syrian government forces of committing war crimes and claimed that Syrian leaders must be held responsible for their policies. However, the Russian Foreign Ministry said certain states have employed the one-sidedness and prejudice of the report to hold the government of President Bashar al-Assad responsible for what is taking place in Syria. The statement further noted that the position of those states was playing into the hands of the radical opposition and decreasing the chances of holding a forthcoming international conference in Syria in Geneva, Switzerland. Meanwhile, UN Arab League Special Envoy to Syria said Syrian sides are not ready for the forthcoming international conference in Geneva. Lothar Brahimi made the remark after a meeting with Russian and U.S. officials in Geneva. He said, "There's still a lot of work to do to bring a conference about. Therefore, it has been concluded that it will not be possible to hold this conference in June." The prospects of holding the international meeting in June began to diminish last week after the EU announced it had decided to lift its arms embargo on Syria. The move was followed by Russia's announcement that it would go ahead with a contract with Syria to send its state-of-the-art S-300 missiles to prevent some hotheads from entering the conflict. On the other hand, the U.S. said it would deploy Patriot missiles and F-16 fighter jets to Jordan, further complicating the situation in Syria. Pakistani lawmakers have endorsed Nawaz Sharif as the country's new prime minister, electing him to an unprecedented third term. More than a decade after Sharif was ousted in a coup, the 63-year-old former 2-time premier was elected for the position for a third time in the National Assembly. He took the oath before Pakistani president. Shortly after endorsement, Pakistan's newly elected prime minister demanded an end to the U.S.-led assassination drone strikes in his country. Nawaz Sharif said, "Pakistan respects the sovereignty of others, and they should also respect its sovereignty and independence. Therefore, this campaign should come to an end." On May 31st, 2 days after 7 people were killed in a U.S. drone strike, Sharif strongly condemned the attacks against Pakistan, describing them as a violation of international law and the U.N. Charter. "The killing of Pakistani civilians, including women and children, has strained relations between Islamabad and Washington." Gunmen have shot and killed at least 14 people near Nakhib town in the western province of Al-Anbar in Iraq. The incident took place after the attackers stopped the victims at a fake checkpoint set up along the main highway connecting Iraq to Saudi Arabia and opened fire on them. Some reports said all 14 people killed in the attack were policemen and that their murderers burned two of the bodies. There has been a recent upsurge in violence across Iraq. Authorities accused Qatar and Saudi Arabia of having a hand in the violence. Now in Turkey, police have attacked hundreds of anti-government demonstrators who gathered at Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan's offices in Istanbul and Ankara. Special police forces used tear gas and water cannons to disperse the demonstrators who were chanting slogans against Erdogan. Meanwhile, the country's main trade unions joined demonstrators. In other reports, police arrested at least 25 people in the western city of Izmir for sending tweets calling on people to protest. Since Friday, tens of thousands of anti-government demonstrations have been held in many cities and towns. At least 4 people have been killed and more than 1,000 injured since the beginning of anti-government protests in Turkey. Authorities say over 2,000 people have been also detained.
I think this is the first time in the history of Turkey where people stand up against an authoritarian regime. Which doesn't happen for the first time, to be honest, but this one is the most ruthless one.
Meantime, presidents of Amnesty International criticized the excessive use of force by the Turkish authorities in order to crack down on the protest movement in Turkey. Amnesty International denounced the way protesters are treated by the police forces and demanded an immediate end of the repression against peaceful protesters.
We are especially worried because between the kindly worded declarations of the Turkish President Abdullah Gül, for example, and the reality during the demonstrations, there is a significant gap. Since last Friday, we noticed there is a really very, very violent depression. Tear gas canisters have been shot directly at the protesters, even targeting the heads on purpose. The police also used tear water cannons and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Doctors in England say over 800 children are forced to visit their GP each day, suffering serious illnesses caused by their constant exposure to secondhand smoke. Researchers within 2 weeks surveyed 700 parents and discovered 68% of parents admitted to smoking in the car with their children present, and 3/4 of those surveyed said that had no idea that their smoke was damaging the children. Doctors are hoping images like this will shock parents into stop smoking.
80% of secondhand smoke is not visible and it's odorless, but it contains over 4,000 chemicals, things like tar, arsenic, benzene, that can cause dreadful damage, particularly to children.
People in Greece are complaining about a special kind of property tax imposed on people through electricity bills. My colleague has a story.
The widely despised property levy attached to electricity bills as a tax collection booster more than a year ago seems to be here to stay. Originally introduced as a one-off emergency tax collection channel based on property assets, the measure is now reintroduced. As of late July 2013, electricity bills issued by the Public Power Corporation will include the new special property tax for one more year, which will be 15% lower than the levy paid in 2011 and 2012. Earlier last year, the measure was ruled unconstitutional because it obliged electricity consumers to pay both bills simultaneously, threatening power cuts in the case of non-compliance. The new scheme separates power supply from the tax payment and is set to be smaller, as there will be cumulatively more owners paying. Consumers who fail to pay the special property tax through the electricity bill will have to refer to tax authorities for taxes to the finance ministry. In parallel, the coalition government is locked into a new internal struggle over a bill allowing some households to repay their bank loans over longer periods of time, offering financially troubled households a 48-month extension. Talks between the government and the Troika are now mainly focused on the overhaul of the tax collection system, the streamlining of the public administration, privatizing public assets, and financing a potential new fiscal gap for 2015 and 2016. The special property tax imposed through electricity bills seems to be here to stay. Initially conceived as a one-off tax to help boost the ailing economy, it now seems the measure will be reintroduced this year as well as next year. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Aten.
People under stress are likely to continue whichever habits that they have previously developed. Researchers believe this contradicts the idea that pressure develops new bad habits and raises important questions about how to develop positive new ones. Here's more.
Stress doesn't simply make people eat junk food and treats. If one's routine is about eating healthy food and going to the gym, these habits will not only remain, but the number of salads and hours of training can even rise under pressure. At least that's the conclusion of a recent study that reveals that stress encourages bad habits, but also reinforces the good. The study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology focused on the behavior of students. During 10 weeks, the aim was to study the impact and changes in their lifestyle in times of stress. When students were under pressure and sleeping less, the tendency was to adopt old habits as if they had no energy to do new things. Everything depended on previous routines. When the issue has to do with our human habits, we always heard it was a question of training and focus if one wishes to change them. What this study comes to confirm is that stress seems to play a much more important role not only in our health, but in our daily behaviors. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
A new survey shows that most French people disapprove of Socialist President François Hollande's leadership and believe that the European Union is led in the wrong direction. The survey carried out by Gallup and six EU countries indicated that 51% of the French disapprove of Hollande's leadership role in Europe. Hollande's popularity, which had already been affected by the poor performance of France's economy, is shrinking to record lows. Meanwhile, the Gallup survey showed that 62% of French people think that the EU is moving in the wrong direction. The figure climbs to more than 85% among those who disapprove of Hollande's leadership. Britain has the highest food and energy inflation in Western Europe, as the country's households are struggling with their biggest squeeze on living standards at a time of austerity. According to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, food and energy prices in Britain are rising faster than anywhere else in Europe. Britain's inflation rate for food was 4.6% in April, compared to the same month last year. This compares with 3.7% in Germany and 1.6% in France. Energy prices were also up 2.2%. Reports say inflation has remained above the Bank of England's 2% target since late 2009, as energy bills and food prices soar. New reports show that more than one in five U.S. adults have problems paying their medical expenses, opting to forego treatment or fill prescriptions. According to the reports, 20.3% of U.S. adults under the age of 65 had trouble paying health bills during the first half of 2012. The report said an individual who was uninsured or with public insurance was twice as likely to experience trouble paying medical bills than someone with private medical insurance. The reports highlighted the most common medical expenses, including medication, equipment, home care, or trips to doctors, dentists, hospitals, and therapists. According to the International Federation of Health Plans, the U.S. has the most expensive health care system in the world when it comes to several conditions, including having a baby, heart surgery, hospital stay, and basic doctor care. And before wrapping up, Russian Prime Minister says Moscow does not regard NATO's expansion toward its borders as positive. Dmitry Medvedev further said Moscow would have to react to a possible change in the balance of forces in Europe if Sweden and Finland decide to enter NATO. The Russian official noted that under certain scenarios, this potential could be employed against Russia. The Russian Prime Minister added that all new members of the NATO that are in Russia's proximity eventually do change the parity of the military force. On May 27, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said Moscow was still concerned about the deployment of U.S. NATO missile systems in Europe. He said Russia wanted more specific technical guarantees that the missiles would not be used against Moscow. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.